Take your Bible and go to 1 Samuel 30 tonight, and you can remain seated as we read, because we're going to preach the whole chapter, and it's quite lengthy. There's 31 verses that take place, and so I know that if I start reading it, I'll start making comment, and you'll be standing for 15 minutes. So why don't you just stay seated? I want you to get in your mind what is taking place, just to give us a reminder of what's going on in the story of David. David has gone down to Gath, and he's aligned himself with the king of Agath, and it's 14 months that he is going to be out of Israel, and Saul's not pursuing him anymore because he's there with the king of Gath. And then he finds out that there's going to be a war. There's going to be a battle, and Achish is going to have David to come and fight in the battle. And we know that God intervenes, and the princes of the Philistines say, "We don't want this guy. He's the guy that they said that he's killed that Saul has killed thousands, and he's killed 10,000s. And why should he go to battle with us?" And so David feigns with Achish and says, "Well, why, what have I done?" But he saves David's life, is what he does. He saves David's reputation. Now, while this is going on, while this conversation between David and the king of the Philistines is going on, there's another scene that is taking place, and that is Saul. Saul sees the battle. Saul has been totally rejected by God, and God does not speak to Saul. Samuel is now dead. So Saul takes drastic measures and goes to the witch of Endor in chapter 28. And he goes to this familiar spirit, this wizard, this witch, if you would. He goes to her and he wants to try to... He's doing anything he can to try to talk to God in some way. And so he goes to this witch this is a side note. The Bible tells us that we all have angels that watch over us. Now, some of us have got several. I think some of us might need more than one. So, if the devil is a copycat of everything that God does, and he is, if God has an angel that watches over us, why would the devil not do the same thing? All right, I'm just saying to you that the possibility exists if you think about it. So I believe that when Saul goes to the witch of Endor, she is literally going to bring up somebody that would seem to be Samuel. That's what she thought, because she's a witch. But where she got flipped out is God allowed actually Samuel to show up. And you know what she did? Even as a witch, she went, "Ah!" And God allowed Samuel to talk to Saul one last time in chapter 28. But what Samuel told Saul wasn't what Saul wanted to hear. You know what he told him? The same thing that he told him when Saul did not kill the Amalekites like God told him to. "You're toast. You're going to die. It's over with." And so while this is going on, while the story that we're going to read tonight is going on with David, and it's the story of when David comes back, that he finds that the city Ziklag that he has been given by the Philistines has been overtaken by the same Amalekites that Saul refused to destroy. Now, I want you to understand this, that the Bible teaches us that the Amalekites are a type of flesh. And if you don't kill the flesh, if you don't deal with the flesh, it's always going to come back to haunt you. So while Saul is meeting with the witch of Endor, while things are going downhill for Saul, things are about to go up for David, even though David finds himself, and I believe, at the very lowest point of his life, of his ministry, of what God's trying to do, because even his own people, even the 600 men the Bible says, were ready to stone him. All right, so I want you to read, and I believe that there's a revival that takes place in the life of David, because literally for 14 months, David has not sought God, he's not sought the will of God, he's not sought the priest, he's not done anything to seek God. Why? Because he thinks security is more important than the will of God. And he is outside of the will of God because he is not in Judah, he is in Philistine territory. So I want you to read, I want you to see that, but I want you to understand, at the same time that Saul is about to lose his life, he's meeting with a witch, David is at the low point at Ziklag, but he starts to move up. Why? Because he inquires of the Lord. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible is found here, and I believe it's for all of us. It's found in verse number 6. But let's wait till we get there. All right? Now do you understand why I didn't make you stand? I'm telling you, Michael's always working on me. I'm telling you. And it came to pass, chapter 30, verse number 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Now, I'm telling you, think about it in your mind. They did not know that their wives and their children were even alive. All they knew is the city was burned, all their stuff was gone, and their families had been taken captive. Verse 4 says, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. I want you to look at this now. Have you ever been here? Until they had no more power to weep. Why is that? Because their world had been turned upside down. All of their possessions and their wives and their children, everything that they knew had been taken away. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. David was a real man. And David had real problems here. Here's why he was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and for his daughters. And then this is the part that I think we all need to get a hold of tonight, especially when we're in an overwhelming situation. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I could go to the New Testament to remind you that Jesus Christ is enough. That we need to go to Him in our times of sorrows. We need to go to Him in our times of trouble. We need to go to Him and encourage ourselves in the Lord. Because He's enough. By the way, God was not surprised by what had taken place. Is everybody with me to understand that part of this is David is under chastisement because he has gone away from the will of God? And that's what I want to preach about tonight. Now, I want you to look at verse number 7. And David said to Abiathar, now remember when Saul had killed all the priests in Nob. There was only one man left, and that was Abiathar. And David goes to the man of God, whose name is Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son. And he said, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to God. Now, let me just tell you, that would be equivalent to us today as he opened up the Word of God. He sought for God. He sought for what to do. Well, where do we seek for what to do? We do not seek it in the world. We do not seek it in society. We seek the will of God from the Word of God. And in this case, this was how they sought the Lord. And you'll see David. David hasn't done this now for 14 straight months. And verse number 8 tells us, that David inquired at the Lord. When you read the Bible, what are you doing? You're inquiring of the Lord. And David said, through the ephod and the priest, shall I pursue after this truth? Now, let me tell you this. David never said, God, he never said, Abathar, pull out the ephod and let's seek the will of God if I should go and live in the land of Gath. Should I align myself with the Philistines? Should I go outside of the will of God to the world? Should I do that? He never sought that. You know why? Because he knew that was not the will of God. He had already been told that on one occasion when he went to Moab. He said, God said, don't stay in Moab. And if God doesn't want us in Moab, he doesn't want us in Gath either. But David now inquires of the Lord and he says, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, the priest answered through the ephod, thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Now, my friend, when you read something from the Word of God and you get encouragement for the Lord, and David was the one that got this. His men are seeking almost to stone him. But David seeks the Lord. You know what God said? Go after them. You'll recover everything. David said, fellas, mount up. We're headed out. So David went, verse number 9. He and the 600 men that were with him. And they came to the brook Bezor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and his 400 men. For 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Bezor. And they found an Egyptian. I would call this the providential hand of God. So they come upon this Egyptian in the field. And they brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisin. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt and servant to an Amalekite. And my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. Now, when I get through verse number 16, I think, well, maybe there'll be a little pause. Maybe they'll be looking over the situation. Maybe they'll, gather themselves ready to go. No! David has already heard the Word of God. David has already searched, and God said, go. And verse 17, boom! And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Now, I call that revival. I call that encouraging myself in the Lord, God giving me the Word of God, and then going forward. Listen, my friend, there will be times in our life very likely that we will feel overwhelmed, out of control. And David was not in control of the situation there as Ziklag had been burned. He was not in control when his men seemed to be ready to kill him because they had thought they had lost everything. But David did two things. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He sought the Word of God and the will of God, and he went forward. And while Saul is going down, David is going up. Now, after all of this took place, I just want you to get a hold of this fact. that he comes back to verse number 26. I'm going to fast forward a little bit. David comes to Ziklag and sends the spoil of the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, here's a present for you from the spoil of your enemies. He goes to Bethel. He goes to Rachel. He goes to Hormah. He goes to Hebron. And all of these places, David is laying the groundwork to become the next king of Israel. Saul is going down because he's rejected God. And David is going up because he followed the will of God. I would call this story tonight revival from a ruinous situation. Only God can do what we see that was done tonight. Lord, would you help us tonight as we go through this, I believe, time of purging in David's life, time of chastisement, as he is outside of the will of God, and now he has come to the very lowest point of his life. The people that have come to him, the men, the 600 men who have come from the discontent and the dregs of society, those that had to leave everything in Judah and come to David because of the leadership of Saul, they find themselves, many of these would become the mighty men of God that we read about in the Bible. And here they are, ready to kill David, and very well they could have done that. But the Bible says that David did two things. He encouraged himself in the Lord, and he sought the Word of God to go forward. May we encourage ourselves in the Lord tonight. May we read the Word of God so that we might know the will of God. Help us, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to remind you, I may say some things over tonight that I've already said, but while Saul is seeking counsel from a witch in Endor, David is once again going to seek the counsel of God. You know, sometimes when we get so discouraged or we get so down or we get so disillusioned, if we're not careful, we might quit reading our Bible. If we're not careful, we might think that God has forgotten us, that God is no longer with us. God has not forgotten us. God still wants us to do His will. But before David can become king, and he's going to very well, very clearly, very soon, he's going to become the king of Israel. He is going to find himself in Hebron for 7 years, and then for 33 years, he will be in Jerusalem. And the truth is David is going to become under the chastisement of God because of the 16 months that he has spent in the land of the enemy. David has enjoyed God's protection until now. Because David, listen, when David was in Judah and Saul was pursuing David, even though Saul came up on him on several occasions, do we not read over and over and over again that God protected David? If God can continue to protect David, why do we think we have to go to the world for answers? But yet that's what David did. For 16 months, he goes down there and lives outside of the will of God. Now, here's what we all need to understand. When you decide to do something that is not in the will of God, here's what people don't understand. It doesn't just affect you. It affects those around you. And in this case, while we know that there's 600 men, there's more than those men. There's their families. Let's just say that half of them were married. That would be another 300. Let's say that they had 2.5 children, which I don't know. They say that's the average. I've always wondered where that half child comes in. So you're talking about a lot of people that David is in charge of. And when he gets to Ziklag after the encounter with Achish, he finds that there's nothing but clouds of smoke and missing family and the whole city being burned. And God's going to use the Amalekites. Of all people, the Amalekites, to chasten David. One commentator I read one time said of the Amalekites that they were everyone's enemy and universally disliked. They would be the modern day terrorists. Nobody liked them. And we know that when they encountered Israel in the wilderness, it was so bad that they came up on the backside of Israel. They came up behind them, those that were lagging behind, and those that were old, and those that were feeble, and those that were not keeping up. That's who they attacked. Let me tell you, it reminds me, the Amalekites remind me of people who want to attack those who are newly saved or those who might be weak. Listen, my friend, if an Amalekite comes to you and wants to talk about it, why don't you bring them to me? Maybe we can work this thing out. No, the Amalekites like to work behind the scenes. The Amalekites like to do things from behind. And they burn the city. They pillage the city. And David will have to deal with the Amalekites just like we have to deal with our flesh. Our flesh is our enemy. And we have to deal with it every day. Let's be reminded that Saul was told to destroy the Amalekites. And he failed to do that. And because he failed to do that, now the Amalekites are once again being used by are the enemy of God. They were a people who were not happy unless they were at war with somebody. They were not only the ones who would come at you from the front, but rather the rear. They are the people who do not want to confront you, but rather want to go behind your back. And they always go to those who are weak. Is everybody with me? They invaded Ziklag when all the men were gone. They had a scout, no doubt, to find out that the leadership of the city was gone, that there was nothing there but women and children. And they listen, in the church, it's called church. Those who are looking for something to do that's not right. Descendants, those who prey on the weak. Those who come after babes in Christ. And I want to tell anybody that's young and in the Lord. Let me tell young Christians, if Amalek comes to you and wants to bring discord or dissent, come to me. And we can actually try to help the situation. I don't understand people who are in the church that when people try to bring discord or dissent, why don't they just say, stop it? Or when they say something, why don't they say, well, let's go talk to the preacher about it. I'll be glad to talk to you about it, because a lot of stuff that is said behind the scenes, or people sniffing or talking about stuff they shouldn't be talking about, why don't you come and confront me with it? Rather than talking in the background or talking to somebody or trying to bring somebody down. Come on now. I'm just telling you, God's people need to stand together. We are one body in Christ. But I find that every once in a while somebody raises up like an Amalekite, who wants to bring dissension, who wants to say things to bring discord. And by the way, most of the stuff, it ain't even true in the first place. There's no truth to it whatsoever. And I will tell you this, Satan knows your weakness, and he knows this, you better never let your guard down. And I feel like once we let our guard down, the enemy will take advantage and swiftly and quickly bring harm. David, did you ever think about maybe you ought to leave 100 men behind? He didn't even think about that. They all go to war. There's 600 men that are getting ready to go to war with the Philistines. Now, we know that God saved them, amen? But they were ready to go to war against their own people. Now, I'm thankful for the providential hand of God. I really am. And sometimes God is so good, He saves us from things we don't even know that's going on. He does a great... God is so good. And God knew that the Amalekites were going to come. God knew that David needed to be chastised. God knew that David was going to need to encourage himself in the Lord. God knew that David needed to seek the will of God. And he did. And God brought a victory. And every person that was taken captive, they got them all back. But you know, they didn't know what was going to happen. They had no idea. But we need to understand that, you know, it's okay if God purges us, chastises us, rebukes us. He can do that. And David was afflicted. Look at verse number 4. David was afflicted. David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept, listen to this, until they had no more power to weep. They were hurt by the situation. Sometimes we do not listen to God until He brings us great pain. But it's at this point, listen, I'm going to tell you something. The greatest place that you can be is in a place of brokenness. And God certainly knows how to bring brokenness into our life if He needs to. And these men are broken and they're weeping over what has happened. And there's no doubt we are. I don't know about you, but I am a pessimist. I love to be around optimists. You know, the glass is half full kind of guy. I'm always looking at, well, where's the rest of the full? It's half empty. You know what I'm saying? Did they not think the worst? If they did think the worst. They thought that it was over with. Their life as they knew it, their children, their daughters, their sons, their wives, they had no idea what would take place. Because terrorists can do all kinds of things. And terrorism does all kinds of things. And they could have taken them to the next town. They could have done all kinds of atrocities. They could have killed them when they were through with them. But I'm sure they thought the very worst. That's what these people, what have these people done with our wives and our children? And they could have thought many things. And I'm telling you, they thought it to the point that they wept till they couldn't weep no more. You know why it is? Their pain was great. They were in sorrow. Everything, materially speaking, that they had gained while they were in the Philistine territory was gone. The profits of sin never last very long. We know that the pleasures of sin are only for a season. And you know what? Life sometimes is affliction. Sometimes life is an aggravation. Is everybody with me? Look at verse number 6. And David was greatly distressed. He was distressed over what had taken place, but then he gets word that they're ready to kill him. Now, I want you to think about this. These men came to David in their most discouraging time. David led these men. David had taken these men into battle. These men had already won great victories. David had saved them from their societal wickedness of Saul. And in the very rough times, they're ready to kill him. They're ready to stone him. I like David, though. He is such a man of God. He says the people spake of stoning him because the soul of the people was grieved. They were grieved for their sons and their... What is killing David going to do any good? Life can be an aggravation. The very people that David had put his life into were the very people that were ready to stone him. That's an aggravation. That's discouragement. But you know what David did? Now listen. David could have lashed out. David could have said, "All right, which one of you big boys want to take me on? Who wants to throw the first stone? Come on. Am I right?" David didn't do that. David went to the Lord. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, if we're not careful, life can become so aggravating. And we can have our pity party. By the way, life is an aggravation sometimes. It's an irritant. It's a affliction. It's a sorrow. It is trouble. Is everybody with me? Am I the only one that knows that life can be afflicting, that life can be troubling, that life can be aggravating? Killing David is like trying to blame God. So that's exactly... This is God's fault. This is David's fault. It's just as much as your fault as David's fault. But they were ready to kill him. Folks, when you get so discouraged with life, take it to the Lord. Encourage yourself in Him. You hear me, brother? Encourage yourself in the Lord. Sometimes in our deepest sorrow, in our deepest affliction, in our deepest overwhelming, God goes, "Well, I'm glad you're back. Glad you're spending time with me. Glad you're pouring your heart out to me." See, here's what we need to understand. We can pour our heart out to God in rough times, but we can also do it in good times. David is not only hurt by what the men are going to do, he's humiliated. However, God is using the heartache to work on the heart. Did you hear what I said? God can use the heartache to work on the heart. It was only by this great threat that David get alone with God, and David turned himself back over to God. I personally, this is my own personal opinion, I've written this kind of on the margin of my Bible in my message, I personally believe this would be the low point for David. He's in a Philistine country. He's this close to going to war against his own people. He's got 1,500 people that he's in charge of, 600 men and their families that he's in charge of. He has two wives. He has the burden of these people upon him, and he turns around and he comes into town, and town is gone, and the very people that he has helped are ready to turn their back on him and to stone him. But praise God, we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. When you get to the lowest point, there's only one way to look, and that's up. And as David was out of control, listen, when you think you're in control of everything, you think you can do it. But when God takes things out of your control, then you realize He's the only one that can do what only God can do. David had sown, and now he is reaping. And he is in an aggravation. He is in affliction. But I want you to look at verse 6, where we just read this. He was grieved. The soul of all the people was grieved. Every man was grieved for his sons and his daughters. They spake of stoning him. But here it is. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know what that means? That means David went to God for his strength. Here is a revival of faith, a revival of trust, and a revival of dependence upon the Lord. If God so chooses, He can cause us to lose our possessions. He can cause us to lose our health. He can cause us to lose our loved ones. He can cause us to lose friends. He can cause us even death. But He will never leave us nor forsake us. Psalm 119:67 says this, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word." Where do you think David got that from? Realize, how can you strengthen yourself in the Lord? Listen, whatever God needs to do to make you drive yourself back to God, He can do it. He's the Lord of source of our strength. It's not your ability. It's not some crutch or something. In Psalm 46, it says this, "God is our refuge and our strength. He is a very present help in trouble." You need to put your trust in the Lord. Well, Pastor, you make it seem so simple. Well, really it is. Because we're so human that we drift away sometimes. And we think we're in control. And we think we can go outside of the will of God. And we think it's okay to go to Philistia. It's okay to go to the land of the Philistines. It's okay to get outside the will of God. Let me tell you, 16 months David did not seek God. 16 months David did not ask for Abiathar. 16 months he did not say, "Bring me the ephod." 16 months he was trying to feel security. And my friends, security is in the Lord, not in the Moab and not in Agath. David said in Psalm 9, he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope in thy God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." And then he goes to this, And they that know the name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hath not forsaken them that seek thee. You know what we need to do? Encourage ourselves in the Lord. Remember what Paul said when he asked the Lord three times to take away his infirmity? God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, Paul said, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We don't like to think about that. But David was at his weakest point when he was most vulnerable. Not only did this situation drive him to the Lord, but it drove him to prayer. Look at verse 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Elimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the answer came back, pursue, you shall overtake them. That's revival, brother. For 16 months, David had not inquired of the Lord. Now, I believe that many people would be willing to jump on David and say, I can't believe this. I can't believe he didn't inquire of the Lord. And we can put it like this. I can't believe he stopped going to church. I can't believe that he did not read his Bible. I can't believe David was not in prayer. Well, I've been there. And so have you. Why have the Bible available to us every day and don't take advantage of reading it? Verse number 8, the Bible says, David inquired of the Lord, should I pursue? He didn't ask God, should I move to Philistine? Should I move to Gath? But you know what? Now his attitude has changed. If God has to use chastisement to get us to pray and seek God's will, He'll do it. And that's okay. Another thing chastisement does is it drives us from evil. In the book of Hebrews it says, for verily for a few days chasten us after our own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Let me tell you what this experience did, just so you'll know. It got David out of the land. And it got him back in Judah. And Judah was where the will of God was. The will of God is not in Moab, and the will of God is not in Gath. Everybody with me? The will of God is to be back in Judah. Life can be affliction. Life can be aggravation. But God can use situations like this to our advantage. What are you going to do tonight when you're overwhelmed? Well, let me give you a piece of advice. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. Seek the will of God through the Word of God. Because God has the answers. God doesn't want us to live in pity. Well, preacher, you just don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't sometimes. Everybody has burdens to bear. But you can still encourage yourself in the Lord. You can be at the lowest point of your life and have the greatest revival. David encouraged himself in the Lord. I love that verse. That is awesome. You ever been there? I have. And sometimes we like self-pity. The Lord goes, hey, who you serving? You, Lord, will encourage yourself in me. Read the Word of God. It has the answers. Get up, David. Remember, I anointed you to be king. You're not king yet. Saul is going down. You're coming up. But you can't get up until you get right with me. Everybody with me? I'm going to get that sign back out. Get right with God. That's my favorite sign. Well, how do we get right with God? Encourage ourselves in the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. Chastisement is not a pleasant experience, but the affliction and the aggravation can bring advantage in driving us to our knees, seeking the Lord in prayer, finding the will of God, keeping us from evil, bringing us back to Him. And oh, by the way, you can sit in an independent Baptist church and be a backslider. Absolutely. The rest of the chapter tells us God's blessings that David receives. and how he goes and he takes the spoils that he got from the Amalekites. He's able to send gifts to Israel. And you know what? They are going to accept him as the next king of Israel. And David, I'm just going ahead of myself, but David will bring greater victories to Israel than any king ever did. He will enlarge the coast of Israel more than any king ever did. And you know why, really, it's all about? Even though David is going to do some boneheaded things like he's done right here, and he will do some other things. But one thing about David, read Psalm 51. When he found himself out of the will of God, he was willing to repent and seek the Lord and encourage himself in the Lord. And when we go backwards, the only place to go is to God and encourage ourselves in Him. If you're down today, if you're overwhelmed, if it seems like the world is ready to stone you, if you are not in control of your situation, you think God doesn't care, they're ready to stone you, listen to me. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Seek the will of God through the Word of God. And God has never left us nor forsaken us. God is good all the time. You can trust Him. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed.